Alright, it's time to get started. Give me a second here, let me check something. How's everybody doing? Praise God. Amen. Amen. This is our last class session. I just want to let everybody know it's been a blessing and a privilege to be able to minister to you guys and instruct you guys in the spirit of honor. And I just trust God that, you know, you've received something from the class. What we're going to do today, matter of fact, at work, the Spirit of the Lord kept telling me to go back to my car to get my notebook. Which I had all the tests in for the whole year. And he said, you know, I wanted to finish up the last part of the chapter, but he said, no, he says, go back and pick certain test questions, go over those test questions. So what we're going to do, I want you to follow up and listen to instructions. We're going to go back over certain key questions over the semester that we had on the test, and we're going to go over those questions. And a lot of what we're gonna go over today, you'll see on the test. So I'll let you even know what test it was on, what question it was. So if you want to go back on the internet, look at those questions, look at that test. It's gonna be real easy, you know. Or just continue to look at the video. But we're gonna start actually, because what I want to do is kind of sum up the whole semester, the whole year of what we studied, and just key points that I think is going to be real pertinent. And you can go back and look at that test, and it gives you a pretty much a full synopsis of what the whole year is about. Okay, we started talking about the spirit of honor. One of the first things, and this is on quiz number one, it was question number two. It says, when you put your mouth on a man of God and speak negatively towards him, you are dishonoring him. One of the things I stated is you never want to put your mouth on a man of God. As we know in one of our lessons, we talked about Miriam and Aaron, how they dishonored Moses by putting their mouth on a man of God. One of the things we talked about is that you never want to put your mouth on a man of God. That's dishonor. Amen. Another aspect in that same quiz number one, we talked about, you never want to go before a man of God empty-handed. You know, if you want to walk in honor, you want to always present a gift before you, our man of God, or your man of God. You remember the situation with Saul, and they were looking for the prophet, and Saul says, I don't have a gift. But his servant says, I have, you know, a couple of shekels of silver and so that we could present to the man of God so he can tell us which way we should go, because they were looking for the answers, if you remember. So you never want to go before a man of God empty-handed. And that's on that same quiz one, I think that's question number four. Now, you'll see some of them. I'll probably have maybe 20 questions on the test or something like that, so you won't see all of them. But if we don't discuss it today, you won't see it on the test. All right? We're going to move on because we have a lot of questions I want to just hit. In quiz number two, and we moved on in the book, as a matter of fact, while I'm thinking about it, we actually covered pretty much 2.5 different books. We covered most of the book here, which is the author here, Bishop Tudor Bismarck's book on the spirit of honor. And then later on in the first semester, towards the end, we talked about the spirit of Leviathan, if you remember, which is pride. And that came from this book that Reverend Leroy Jr. wanted me to minister on here, Overcoming Pride. And then midway into the second semester, we started talking about loyalty, if you remember. Well, that came from this book here, Loyalty versus Disloyalty, a lot of the information we got. So we covered several chapters in this book, all of the Overcoming Pride, and pretty much all of the spirit of honor. Okay, in quiz number two, question number one, one of the things we talked about, we said here that There is no seed greater than an honor seed. It will produce the greatest level of harvest in your life, greater than any other seed that you can sow. So there's no seed greater than an honor seed. It will produce the greatest amount of harvest in your life. When you sow into the anointing, when you plant financial blessings upon your man or your woman of God, that's going to produce the greatest level of harvest in your life. There's no seed that's greater than an honor seed. If you can remember just that one principle, it'll usher you into all that God has for you by sowing into that anointing. You always want to sow upward. Remember we talked about upward giving? You sow up so that the anointing that's on the man of God or the woman of God's life can come down onto you. The anointing of God, as we stated earlier, always comes from the top and it flows down, you know, and that's called upward giving. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. On the same quiz 2, question number 2, it says, anytime dishonor is displayed, the actions are the process of the blessing from flowing. Let me read it again. Anytime dishonor is displayed, it's blank. The actions are the process of the blessing from flowing down into your life. What it does, it inhibits the action, it short circuits the action, it restrains it, and it blocks it, really all of the above. So I'm going to read it one more time. Anytime dishonor is displayed, it inhibits, it short circuits, it restrains, it blocks. The actions are the process of the blessing from flowing down in a person's life. So whenever you do anything to bring dishonor, it'll short circuit, it'll stop the blessing. You know, it'll inhibit it, it'll short circuit it, it'll cause that blessing to be restrained, and it'll block it. Amen? And you never want to do that. You always want the blessing and the anointing to flow into your life. Amen? All right, same quiz number 2. Question number 4. This, we're talking about the definition now of honor. The definition of honor as discussed in the class, okay, and that's, it has several parts to it. It says honor is one of high esteem or high public esteem, one of high reputation. Honor is one who has notoriety or recognition, a person who has notoriety or recognition. Also, too, honor is one who has certain privileges conferred upon them in lieu of their anointings, their giftings, and their ranks. All of these things represent honor or as a part of the definition of honor. And that's in quiz number 3. Matter of fact, let me make sure I'm not missing anything. Yeah. In quiz number 3 now, question 2, this is a really pertinent question we wanted to go over. It says, sons must recognize that the hand of the Father releases the blessing. Sons must honor, respect, and acknowledge the Father has been sent and empowered to convey and to transfer the impartation that they need. So the answer to that question is honor. The sons must realize that the hands of the Father releases the blessing, and sons must honor, respect, and acknowledge that the Father has been sent and empowered to convey and to transfer the impartation that they need. And that's so very important that we recognize that. When the Lord puts us in a ministry under a man of God, under an apostolic source, it's very important that we recognize that that apostolic source has everything we need to sustain us, to put us where God wants us to be in life, you know. And so as we honor, as we respect that apostolic source, it's going to supply everything that we need. Okay, in quiz 4, question 4, one of the things we talked about, another really important topic was ministry gifts need to be respected and honored so impartations can be released. Honor the gift that God has sent to you will release the Father's blessing in your life. Ministry gifts need to be respected and honored so the answer is impartations can be released. You want impartation to be released in your life. When you honor and respect a gift, and by honoring it, you sow into it, You submit to it. You're loyal to that gift. You yield to the apostolic authority, you know, by submitting to you know, the divine order of God and God's government that God places you under. And as you do all of that, that gift now will cause impartation to take place in your life. Nothing that you value, if you don't value something, you're not going to honor it. We talked about that early part of last year. If you don't value something, you'll never honor it. So you want to honor that gift. Amen? All right, moving on to quiz four. Question three. It's talking about, remember we talked about Aaron and Moses and Aaron? Miriam was out of order by speaking against Moses concerning the Ethiopian women, the Ethiopian woman that Moses had married. She was out of order because, as we stated earlier, she put her mouth on the man of God. And we stated that you never want to put your mouth on the man of God. If you remember, God said, he told me, says, you know, Moses, I speak to mouth. It says some people I speak to in different ways. He said, but my servant Moses is not so. Him I speak mouth to mouth. You know, how could you, you know, be so gullible and so, you know, disrespectful as to now question his authority, question him. You know, if I had a problem, one of the things I've learned, even I remember in years ago in class, when I was a student, there was a situation that had happened where the instructor was ministering, and it was a debate kind of rose up concerning something he had said that somebody said, well, I don't understand, and then another student said, well, they wanted to kind of explain it. You know, and they weren't quite right, and it was going back and forth. What happened that nobody recognized, but maybe two or three people in that class that day, we used to have the school of ministry on a Saturday, and we had prayer meeting prior to the school of ministry. And right after prayer meeting, our class started. Well, our class had been gone for about 10 or 15 minutes, and the apostle was still on the campus in the old sanctuary, in the old church. Well, he slipped in the back door, was sitting on the back row. And so he heard the discussions where the students now are challenging the instructor, you know, and he didn't say anything. He let it go on for two or three minutes. Then he raised his hand up, and he said, excuse me, sir, I need to speak. I'm the president of this university. And he proceeded to say that no student should ever challenge the instructor. He said, if any correction needed to be done, me as the president of this school, I'm going to make the correction, you know. And you know, that kind of goes back to where we're here with Miriam. You know, this was God's man, or a person that God had placed in delegated authority. You know, you don't want to challenge delegated authority. You're supposed to submit properly to delegated authority. Because when you start to challenge it, it brings, and we'll even get to another test question that even addresses that, because what happens is it causes, you know, what's the word I want to use? It brings everybody out of divine order, and it causes chaos, it causes disarray and disorder to take place in the midst of, because we know that God is a God of order. Okay, question number four on the quiz four says, anything. You had a question? This is question quiz four. Quiz four, question four. Yes, sir. Which? Okay, that's quiz four, and that's question three, and we're on question four of quiz four. And that answer was Miriam. Miriam was the one who was out of order. And I'll try to make it more clear. Anything you don't honor, you don't value. And value is the answer. This is question number four. Anything that you don't honor, you will not value. And the answer is value. You want to honor something. If you don't honor it, you have no it'll have no value to you. You know, you want to honor your man of God because he has value, because he's speaking the word of God that's coming out of his mouth. And when you honor him, you're going to value him. You're going to hold him in high esteem. Very, very important. Okay, quiz number five now. Question number one. Pride, arrogance, and haughtiness are defined as the spirit of Leviathan. Remember we talked about the spirit of Leviathan? Pride, arrogance, and haughtiness is defined as the spirit of Leviathan. And the Bible says, pride goeth before the fall. Pride will go before the fall. That won't be on the quiz, on the test, but that's a scripture that says, you know, a haughty spirit and pride will, you know, when you begin to walk in pride, you're about to stumble, you know. But if you walk in humility, you know, we'll talk about humility, how it's so important to walk in humility. Okay, same quiz five question. Number two, a reasonable and justifiable sense of worth or position, living for self, or a sense of being better than others is excessive self-esteem is defined as pride. Read it again. A reasonable or justifiable sense of one's self-worth or position, living for self, or a sense of being better than others, an excessive, you know, self-esteem is defined as pride, and the answer is pride. Like I said, when you go back and you look at it, you know, one of the things I've tried to encourage the students to do is to always, you know, hang on to your quizzes, because your test questions, as you know, are going to come from your quizzes. Because what I try to do is I try to find key points in the lesson that really centers what the author is centered on, and so that we can, you know, really hammer down on those so we can get it into your heart. All right, let's move on. Quiz number six, question number two. The only way to defeat the spirit of Leviathan is by the anointing, is by God's anointing, and humbly recognizing that we are powerless. The answer is powerless without Jesus. The only way to defeat the spirit of Leviathan, that's pride. Pride is a nasty, just damnable spirit. And when pride gets on a person, you know, pride goes before the fall. You know, so when a person is walking in pride, they think that they're right all the time, that, you know, that certain things don't apply to them. They're not walking in humility, and basically pride will completely just totally mask you, where you can't even see straight. You know, it's like a fog in front of your eyes. But getting back to the question, the only way to defeat the spirit of Leviathan is by God's anointing, and humbly recognizing that we are powerless without Jesus. One of the things I didn't pray that when we started, but you know, when I do pray, one of the things I always say, Lord, I thank you, you know, that if you don't show, if the Holy Spirit don't show up, I'm going to fall flat on my face. You know, I'm humbling myself before God. When you humble yourself before God, not only will he exalt you in due time, but now you're giving him the right of way and the permission to use, you know, your mind, use your mind and your mouth as a mouthpiece for him. And it's not about you anymore, but it's about him infusing you and you yielding to his spirit. And as you yield to God's spirit, now God is able to display his ability and his power through you. And that's all humility is recognizing your insufficiency, you know. But now pride, on the other hand, is, hey, I can do it all on my own, you know, prideful, you know, arrogantness, haughtiness, you know. But humility is not weakness. But humility is simply submitting yourself to God's will. When you submit yourself to God's will, you're walking in complete humility. Let me move on. Same quiz six, question four. To defeat the spirit of pride in our lives, we must walk in humility through the grace, the anointing given us. not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So to defeat the spirit of pride in our lives, we must walk in humility. And that's so very important. I just kind of stated that earlier. As you can tell, each question pretty much flows one to another. And when you walk in humility, you're going to defeat that spirit of pride every time, you know, because as we stated earlier in the next question, because, you know, the spirit of Leviathan, you're powerless without Jesus. But when you walk in humility, Jesus was a perfect example of somebody walking in humility. He humbled himself and he became obedient even unto death. And God highly exalted him because he walked in humility. I can see I'm not going to get complete with all the questions, but that's not a problem, because what I'm trying to do is bring things back to your remembrance of what we talked about. Because some of these earlier lessons was really the core of the class, you know. And if you get those concepts down, you'll never fail. You're going to always walk in honor. You're going to know how to honor, how to walk in humility. When pride tries to raise up his ugly head, you're going to know how to stomp him back down. One of the things I remember years ago, one of the other ministers here at Word of Life Christian Center, he and I was talking, and I was a little agitated about a few things. He looked at me and he told me, he says, "Brother Calhoun, one of the things you must always remember, you need to always stay small in your own eyes. Always stay small in your own eyes. If you stay small," in other words, you know, don't exalt yourself above measure. Always, you know, stay humble before God. Humble, you know, walk humbly before people. Because the Bible says when you humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, what happened? He will exalt you in due time. You don't exalt yourself. You allow God. You walk in humility, and God is the one that's going to do the exalting. Amen? All right. Quiz number 7. Another key point we talked about. There should be no, okay, in this particular lesson, we talked about kind of behaviors and things we shouldn't do that will cause dishonor in our life, just to kind of prereference the question. There should be no inappropriate behavior in the form of sexual affairs, blatant sex sins, which is the answer, in ministry. Anytime you have this level of dishonor, there is a harvest of catastrophe to be reaped. So there should be no inappropriate, and that's you know, Lord, I'm trying to give an illustration. When you submit yourself to God, the Bible talks about submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Temptation is going to always come. But one of the things I always learn is, Lord, I don't want to do anything that's going to be displeasing to you. Because all it takes is really one mistake. I know people who messed up one time and it affected their ministry for their entire lives. You know, so you want to walk humbly before God, walk in the spirit of humility, you know, and always acknowledge God in all your ways, you know, and he will always direct your path. You know, and with every temptation, there'll always be a way of escape. In every temptation, I don't have time to just go into even a few of them, but, you know, God will always, if you always seek God. There were times I was in a situation where, you know, I was two steps from fornication, and the next thing you know, I'm witnessing to the same person, and they get saved and feel the Holy Spirit, just like that, you know, because God opened up a door for a way of escape, and it's so important to know how to hear the voice of God. One of the things I learned at an early age in my Christian walk was to know how to hear God's voice. There was a book by Kenan Hagin, and it used to be one of the books taught in the school of ministry, How to Be Led by the Spirit of God. I literally ate that book. I would read. I remember before it even hit the press, they had it in the magazine, and a friend of mine had already ordered it. I told him, I said, "Look, when you finish with that book, I want it, because I want to read it." And that book became, you know, became really the thing that helped me and guided me. Even, you know, God led me into my marriage with my wife and led me here to this ministry. Everything I did was being led by the Spirit of God. And when you're led by the Spirit of God, you're never walking the temptation to be there, but you're always going to walk away from it. Because God, when you listen to God's voice will always lead you into green pastures. You know, Bible says that, you know, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not hear. Now, I remember times there were two voices. One voice said, go ahead with it. The other voice says, no. And I knew God's voice very distinctly. So getting back to the question, sometimes I get long-winded on certain things, but there should be no inappropriate behavior in any form, because that brings dishonor. It dishonors you. It dishonors the ministry that you're associated with, and it dishonors God. So there should be no inappropriate behavior in the form of sexual affairs or blatant sins in ministry. Any time you have this level of dishonor, it brings a catastrophe that's going to be reaped. Next question, still quiz 7. In any situation when you have a father that is uncovered, remember Noah in that situation? He uncovered himself and he fell into sin. The sons speak badly about the uncovering of their father. This act opens the door for dishonor. It opens the door for the curse, and it opens the door for sin that the father has initiated to come upon the lives of the sons. I'm going to read that again. In any situation when the father uncovers, when I say uncover, he does something that exposes himself in open sin. It says when he uncovers himself and falls into sin, and the sons speak badly. Then instead of, you know, there were three sons, one of them went back and started, you know, shoo-shooing about what he saw. Instead of covering his father's nakedness, he went and exposed it. Okay, and because of that, it says, what happens now is that act opens the door for what happened to the father that to be transferred over to the generation of that son or those who partake in it. You know, what we need to learn from that is we always want to cover, we want to protect our man of God. You know, when somebody falls into sin, instead of talking about it, you pray for them and you begin to see them restored back to the original state that God intended for them to be. You know, Christians have a bad tendency of shooting their wounded. You know, instead of building them back up, you know, yeah, you made a mistake, but God loves you, you know. And one thing I always tell people, if God can forgive you and wipe your sins away, who am I to question God and to question you about something that happened in your past? If God said he forgive you, I forgive you, and we're going to move on, and we're going to do what God said to do in your life. Amen? All right, let's move on. Oh, quiz 8, question 1. When you honor the laws of the land, and remember we talked about giving tribute to whom tribute is due, honor to whom honor is due. So when you honor the laws of the land, and you give tribute, which is the answer, because whatever country you are in, you become subject to the tax structure and the civil government of that land. So you want to give tribute. You know, when you give tribute, you're respecting their customs, their mores, their tax structure, because you can go to minister in a foreign country and because you're an American, certain things that we don't, you know, have certain allegiances to, they might have allegiances to, or they have certain, you know, customs that they do. You want to always honor the customs and give tribute to whom tribute is due. Okay, question number 2, quiz 8. Showing fear, which is the answer, or reverence to those God has placed an authority, is showing honor to the dignitaries of that land. Knowing the ranks that God has set in place in a particular region is so important, so that you don't dishonor those set in place by God. So you always want to show fear. And when I say fear, it's a godly fear. It's not I'm a scared fear. It's a reverence. I said fear or reverence to those God has placed an authority, to the dignitaries. You know, the Bible talks about giving honor to whom honor is due, giving reverence to whom reverence is due. Not only, you know, you want to definitely do it from a spiritual point of view. And one of the ways you can show honor to whom honor is due, when if you ever have a traveling ministry where you go into a foreign country and there is an apostle in that region, by sowing into him because you're in his region, or letting them know that you're there and honoring him, you know, you're giving tribute and you're giving honor to whom honor is due. And that's a form of reverence and respect for the spiritual authorities that's in that country or in that region. Amen. Okay, quiz 8, question 5. When you honor the anointing that's in the land, you give an offering to this, an offering or a seed into the local apostolic gift in the region that you're visiting. And I just said that, you know, so like I said, the questions flow. I just kind of was skimming through them earlier in the day, and the Lord said, pick this one. So when you honor the anointing that's in the land, you give an offering or you sow a seed into the apostolic gift that's in that local region that you're visiting. Amen. And that's what giving honor to whom honor is due is all about. Okay, quiz number 9, and we're going back to Miriam and Moses again. Quiz number 9, question 2. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because the Ethiopian woman he had married. What was the major spiritual mistake that they made? The major spiritual mistake that they made, and we already talked about this, was that they put their mouth on the man of God. That was the major mistake they made by not honoring Moses, putting their mouth on him. God had to deal with them face to face. You know, next question, which is quiz 9, question 4. When the spirit of dishonor is discovered within a ministry, it must be dealt with before it becomes, the answer is, contagious. When the spirit of dishonor is discovered within a ministry, it must be dealt with, and it must be dealt with immediately because it can become contagious. You know, even just with kids, if one of your children starts to be disrespectful and you don't put him in his place, the other one going to rise up because he think, well, if Timmy got away with it, well, I can get away with it too. No, you can't. You know, same thing with spiritual thing. When dishonor is in the camp, a good example of that was with Korah and his crew with Moses. You know, Korah rose up and he started, you know, bad-mouthing Moses and saying, well, Moses, you know, you don't know what you're doing. You don't have no kind of leadership skills and vice. And then all of a sudden, he started murmuring and complaining. And the next thing you know, he got a crew of people with him. He got his own little company now. And it got to the point where the Lord called him on the carpet and said, told Moses, all those people that's going to be with you, tell them to get on one side. And those people that's going to be with Korah and his company, tell them to get on the other side. And then the ground opened up and it swallowed them. This, you see, one of the things about the Old Testament, and I thank God for grace because, you know, those people, when you messed up, there was consequences immediately. You know, we thank God for Jesus. But see, what's happening now, because God's government is being established and God is, you know, I think penalties are going to be swifter because it's one thing not to know something and not to understand order. But when you understand order and know it and still choose to disobey it, the penalties are going to be more severe on you because it wasn't because of ignorance. You know, it was because of just blatantly, I didn't want to do it. Now, I'm going to disobey. You know, so we need to always make sure that we add up and do the right thing. All right, quiz 9, question 4. When the spirit of dishonor is discovered within a ministry, it must be dealt with, okay, before it becomes contagious. We read that one. Let me move on. All right, we're going to get into a few more. Quiz 10, question number 2. It does not matter who you become associated with as a spiritual covering because you do not have the same DNA as your father, and that's false. It does not matter who you become associated with as a spiritual covering, and that's so untrue. You need to know who you become, and it does matter who you become associated with as a spiritual covering, because you do have the same DNA that they do. And I say DNA, I'm talking about spiritual DNA. You ever heard the expression, he's just a chip off the old rock or a chip off the block? You know, those whom you're associated with, what's on them rubs off on you. That's just a spiritual principle. You know, the law of association. When you associate with an apostolic anointing or a particular anointing, what's coming down from that anointing, that apostolic source, as you submit to it, it gets on you. So yeah, you will have the same DNA, and it does matter who is your covering. You know, so you know, make sure that you're under the right covering, and that's so very important. You don't want to be following the wrong man of God in the wrong camp, because you're never going to reach your destiny. You want to reach your destiny, and that's so very important. I want to see people be all that God has called them to be, and by having, you see, because when you're under the right covering, you're honoring God because you're in God's perfect will, number one, and then you're honoring the man of God that God has called you to serve, and by doing that, you can't help but be blessed, you know. Because now you're doing what Mark 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So now you're seeking God and you're in his will. And as you're in his will, now the things you desire is going to be added unto you, because you are now becoming valuable to the kingdom. Let me move on. Same chapter 10, and this is question number 4. Sowing the seed of dishonor as Ham did can affect the generations after him or after you. It can affect your children and your children's children. A dishonored seed can cut off the generational blessing in your lineage, and that's true. When you sow the seed of dishonor like Ham did by exposing the nakedness of his father, Noah, Ham was cursed. We know that from Scripture. Ham was, because he sowed a dishonored seed. When you sow a dishonored seed, it's not going to only just affect you, but it can potentially affect your children and your children's children. Most of the time, curses and iniquities go down to not only the first, but the second to the third generation. And so you want to make sure that you do not sow a seed of dishonor. Amen? Okay, in quiz number 11, verse 1, we say it here, honor grows generations, a generation of blessings upon legacy. Dishonor will castrate generational destiny. Ham was a good example of that. Honor will grow generations. It'll grow. When I say grow generations, that means your children they're gonna blossom. I'm giving an illustration. I'll talk about myself. I always did like videography. I used to do wedding photography, and I got into it a little bit. It really wasn't God's will for my life, but I just enjoyed doing it, you know. But then I got hooked up into God's will, started doing what God desired for me to do. And the same, without me even talking to my son or showing him, you know, my old darkroom equipment, my old camera equipment, he now gets involved in videography. I mean, he does editing for some sitcoms and small productions, and he does an excellent job, you know. But it grew. What was in me grew into him. My wife, when we were dating, she used to look up into the stars and talk about jets and spaceships, and I mean, she's a Trekkie and like, you know, all the sci-fi movies. And her desire was to work for a large company, which she did. She worked for NASA. She worked for NASA for 18 years. Okay, my daughter, we took her to a launch, to a space shuttle launch when she was 5 or 6 years old. That same desire that was in my wife got embedded into her. And for 4 or 5 years of her life, she actually worked in mission control and worked for NASA. Now she's moved on. But getting back to what I'm saying, honor will grow generations, and whatever in you, a lot of times is going to get embedded into your children. And it wasn't nothing that we forced on them. It just, as we honor our man of God and serve him, that, you know, it's a perpetual thing. It'll grow generations. You know, I'm not telling you things that I just read in the book, things I know from personal experiences. You know, it'll grow the generations. It'll grow the generations. If you're a minister and you honor your man of God and serve, well, guess what? Your son will honor you and serve you. And just like Elijah and Elijah, you know, Elisha served his man of God for about 18 years. And he says, as my soul liveth and the Lord liveth, I'm not going to leave you. And guess what? When Elisha went on up into heaven and the mantle came down, Elisha took the mantle and he smote the river. It parted hither and thither. And Elijah did twice as many miracles because he asked for a double portion. Why? Because of the association, because he honored, going back, honor grows generations, you know, upon legacy, you know. And so it's a spiritual principle. It'll work every time it's put into operation. I got about 3 or 4 minutes. Okay, quiz 11, question number 3. The greatest seed that one can sow is an honor seed. One way to sow honor towards your spiritual father by walking in the revelation knowledge that he is releasing and having physical manifestation take place in your life from the spiritual truths your father has taught you and pass those truths, and as you pass those truths on to others. And that's a true false question. But it says that, you know, the greatest seed you can sow is an honor seed. Now, there is monetary seeds by sowing, you know, into the anointing that way. But you can also honor your spiritual father, also honor your man of God by, as every Sunday and every Wednesday, as he's ministering the word of God and preaching and pouring out his soul, as you receive the revelation knowledge and begin to act upon it and begin to see the demonstrations of what he's ministering manifest in your life, you're honoring him by taking what he said and allowing God to bless you, and manifestations and demonstrations are taking place. So now you become a living testimony of what's being said. Not only does it work for the man of God, but it also works for anybody who apply those principles. That's honoring. That's another form of honoring your man of God. Amen. We might be able to get 2 or 3 more. But there was a lot that we talked about, and I want to get into humility again right briefly. Quiz 12, question number 1. Humility is the sum total of the capacity of a person's spirit to submit itself totally to the power of God, submitting your gift, your talent, and your anointing totally to God. And that's true. Humility is the sum total of the capacity of a person's spirit to submit itself totally to the power of God. You want to submit yourself totally under God. You know, in him I live and I move and I have my being. Submitting yourself totally to God. When you do that, it says submitting your gifts, your talent, and your anointing totally to God, you cannot help but be blessed and walk in honor. You know, submitting everything you have to God. The same quiz 12, question number 4. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. When you that word wait means to serve. When you wait on your master, it says, he that waited on his master shall be honored. This scripture shows the example of serving to produce honor, and that's true. Whoso keepeth the fig tree, eateth the fruit thereof. If you tend the fig tree, if you tend, you know, to the things in ministry. You know, when you're assigned an assignment and you attend to it and you serve and you, what's the word I want to use? I always tell people, yeah, sticking to your assignment. You know, whatever it is that ever area of ministry that God has called you to. When you stick to that assignment and you walk in that assignment faithfully, you cannot help but be blessed. There was one other question concerning that I wanted to go to. I know my time is about out, and I'm not going to go any further. We're going to stop right here because I think just in those questions that we shared, it gives you a strong understanding of everything we talked about over the years, over the year that we were here, the 9 months or so, walking in the spirit of honor. You want to walk in honor. One thing I learned, when you see an example before you, and we have an example in our apostle, we have no excuse not but to walk in honor. And then when you see sons that follow after him that are already walking in honor, it even fortifies the fact that if I just follow suit, if I just you know, pick up and walk in cadence with what they're doing and follow the example that's set before me, I can't help but be honorable and receive the blessings and the benefits of honor. You know, that, and that's what it's all about. You know, honor is something that you sow into. You it's not automatic. You know, you have to serve. You have to submit. You have to yield. You know, those words there are intangibles to honor: serving, submitting, and yielding. When you serve, submit, and yield, you can't help but walk in honor. You know, and being faithful, loyal. We didn't even get to loyal. Loyalty. You know, when you're loyal, you're gonna be faithful to the cause no matter what. You know, being one of the books you guys had in class was talking about the alliance of honorable men. You know, being loyal. You know, having no contention, no strife, no animosity. Everybody recognizing that there's enough work for everybody to do. And when you flow in your designated perspective, anointings and giftings and talents, it all makes up one large body of believers moving in one direction as a mighty force that cannot be stopped. You know, but when there's strife and there's contention and there's Leviathan and people wanting to do their own thing and people walking in disobedience, then there's this disarray, confusion, there's strife, and there's every evil work, and God is not the author of that. But when you walk in honor, it's going to produce generational blessings of honor. It's going to produce everything in your life that God says is yours, that you can have, you know, and there's going to be peace and joy and victory in everything you do. It's a tremendous thing as you walk in honor. You know, it's been a blessing and a privilege to teach this class. I've learned a lot in just teaching it. And I just thank God for the opportunity to serve in this capacity. You know, if I'm not an instructor next year, it's not going to bother me a bit. I'm going to just fall back in whatever position I'm presently in and keep on chucking. And that's the way you always got to be. Sometimes people, when something happens or there's a short stop or you know, things change, they can't flow with change. That's something else. You got to know how to flow with change, because when the Spirit of God is moving, there's always going to be change. And sometimes change may try to rub you the wrong way, but you got to say, no, I know. You see, when you know God called you somewhere and called you to something, you know, it don't matter what's happening. You know, I'm going to stay connected. And that's what it's all about. Don't let, once you graduate in the next couple of weeks, you know, be your last, you know, tours of duty in the school of ministry. Come back as an alumni, because it's not the same school when I was there. It's not the same school. My watch is telling me to stop teaching now. Okay. It's not the same school. And next year it's not going to be the same school, because revelation is progressive. And so there's always going to be more and more and more and more. Amen. You guys be blessed. Amen.